Have you seen Chuck Norris lately? He's still kicking butt and staying active well into his 80s. What's even more shocking is he looks more jacked than ever and seems to have more energy than guys half his age. And it's all thanks to Morning Kick, a revolutionary new daily drink from Roundhouse Provisions that combines ultra-potent greens like spirulina and kale with probiotics, prebiotics, collagen, and even ashwagandha. Just mix with water, stir, and enjoy. Unlike other green drinks out there, this one tastes exactly like strawberry lemonade and has hundreds of five-star reviews. Go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 for up to 44% off your regular priced order. Plus, every purchase is backed by a 90-day money-back guarantee. So if you want to experience smoother digestion, a boost of energy, and just an overall healthier body, then go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 today. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Results can vary.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This episode is brought to you by Camp Highlight, a one-week sleepaway camp where children of LGBTQ parents meet, play, and grow. Contact us for more information on our programs for children ages 8 to 18. Find us at camphighlight.com. Camp Highlight, shining brighter.
Hello.
Welcome to If These Ovaries Could Talk.
I'm Jamie.
You sure are, and I'm Robin.
Yes, and I sound different today because I'm losing my voice.
Because people... Jamie just had a baby.
I had a baby. And I'm exhausted.
She's so exhausted, and it's and it's literally her body is falling apart.
Literally.
I mean, I don't know if that would be literal.
No, I'm not. No,
but I'm not. But it kind of is, though.
Arms and legs. I'm not falling apart.
But your vocal cords are falling apart.
They are
because of the baby.
Yes, I'm exhausted, and my body always my vocal cords always go first. When I've taken it too far.
That sounds like so racy. All right, guys. Yeah. Today, our episode, guess who our guests are? Jamie and Robin.
That's it.
It's just us today.
It's us.
Because, I mean, again, I don't want to harp on this, but Jamie just had a baby. Mm-hmm. And for those of you listeners who didn't hear our premiere episode where Jamie and her wife, Anne, tell their story about how the makeup of their non-traditional family. Amy's wife, Anne, Amy. I'm like making up people now.
That's what my mother-in-law calls me, Amy, like all the time. It's a thing. I can't believe hilarious. You just called me Amy. It's like I should just change my name. Everybody wants to call me Amy anyway.
Okay.
Oh my God. Okay.
Jamie's wife, Anne, had the first baby, and then Jamie had the second baby.
Yes. So I just had him.
All right. I mean, today what we're going to do is we want to talk about what the experience was. I keep calling it, it's like you're a first-time mom mm-hmm. of a second kid, yeah. Which is like, how many people have that?
Right.
Very few. It's yeah. a limited group of people.
Probably a lot of non-traditional families.
Yeah, probably.
But see, no, and that's even probably who's listening.
But even in our non-traditional yeah. family, I had both the babies.
Right, true.
So it's like, you know, I think it's really fascinating.
Yeah, and I got a lot to share, Robin. All right, well,
let's start. Tell us about your son.
Okay,
and
well.
And the birth. I want to hear about the birth.
Oh, man. So, Orion Kelton Woods is his name. Oh. He was 5 pounds, 4 ounces. Little tiny nugget.
Mighty mite.
He's a little mighty man. Which is funny because the doctors the whole time, well, actually in the beginning of my pregnancy, they were afraid he was too big for me because I'm a very petite person. And then the middle and the end of my pregnancy, they were saying, oh yeah, he's going to be average, 7 or 8 pounds. Perfect. Going to be great. 5'4". They really have no idea.
They really don't.
They don't.
They don't.
And even the, Anne asked the doctor after he was born. How come we didn't know he was so small? And the doctor even said, it's not really a science.
By the way, words you don't want your doctor to say.
Yeah, he said, we're basically really just guessing on that. So just so you know, ladies, you never know. So 5'4".
Tell us about, you had quite the birth story.
I did. It was a little traumatic.
Yeah. Let's get into it.
I wanted it the kind of birth where the water breaks first. I always thought that's like
in the movies?
Idyllic way. And that's what happened.
Oh, it did?
Yeah. I went to the bathroom in the middle of the night, like 2 a.m.
I find that so gross.
No, I know. But it didn't happen then. And then I came back into the bed.
Ew.
And when I laid down, I felt like a pop.
Did you just go, oh, crap, I peed myself?
No, I knew it right away. And I had just peed, so, you know. No, I felt a pop and then the gush. And ew. I said, and my water just broke. And then we were up. And
so, you know, in the movies, you go right to the hospital, but that's not the case.
But we did go right to the hospital.
You did?
When your water breaks, you go right to the hospital.
Oh, you do? Mm-hmm. I don't even know anything.
Because there's a risk of infection. Well, there's...
I do remember that.
Like, there's differing opinions. A doctor would tell you to go right to the hospital, or a doctor might tell you to wait a little bit.
Yeah.
I don't know, but if your water breaks, there is a much higher risk of infection.
Sure.
So they want you hooked up and monitored.
Yeah, makes sense.
So we went straight to the hospital. We get there and they check me and determine, yes, your water did in fact break, because
like,
they question
duh.
That. I was like, dude, it's totally my water.
I was there.
I know it's my water. It really leaks. Like there's like a trail.
Let's move on from that.
Yeah. So, and then I wasn't even admitted yet. He said, so we're going to go ahead and admit you. But when we admit you, we want to start you right away on Pitocin. Mm-hmm. Because that's what we like to do. If somebody's water just broke, we don't really like to check them too much, because the more you check them, the more risk of infection. So we like to start you on Pitocin to get it going. And I wasn't so into that. I didn't want to take Pitocin right away because I wanted to see if my body was just going to labor for a bit. Because you know me, I'm a little bit crunchy.
By the way, our listeners, I'm shaking my head at Jamie because I'm not at all crunchy. And I'm fascinated by when women without medical degrees, and I feel like I can say this to Jamie because I love her.
Yes, and Anne is the same way as you.
People without medical degrees suddenly decide they know more than a doctor.
Right.
Like if you went in with a hernia, would you be like,
I know,
I'm going to wait a minute
before
you do the surgery.
And trust me, this is all in the back of my head, because also we've heard so many birth stories at this point too. And I don't want to risk anything, mm-hmm. right? But I have also heard that
it increases the likelihood of C-section.
That, and also, I wasn't really afraid of that, which is funny. I have also heard that it intensifies labor so much so, and it makes the contractions much harder to deal with. I've heard all kinds of things about Pitocin. And I also just really wanted to have a natural birth. Really wanted to try.
I'm staring at her because I got the Pitocin, but I got the drugs right away.
It's something I always wanted to experience. Yeah. My mother tells the story of my birth. I mean, it's been like a story I've heard my whole life, and it was this magical experience and blah, 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 you know. I'll tell you someday the story. It's a beautiful story, and she was in love, and, you know, I wanted that. I guess in the back of my head, my mother's going to be beaming listening to this episode, because I want that too. I really wanted that feeling. So we weren't keen on the Pitocin right away, and he said, yeah, it's not necessary. You can go home if you want and come back in a couple hours. And we're like, no, we don't want to go home. He said, you could just walk around. So we said, okay, let's just walk around. What time do you need us back by? He said, be back by 9. So we said, okay.
It's like a curfew. Back by 9.
I know. So at this point, it's like 4 a.m.
Oh, Jesus.
And so we walked around the hospital that whole time.
Yeah.
Hung out in the chapel for a good amount of time. I was
you getting all spiritual.
It wasn't for that. It was just because we needed to sit down.
There was a lot of love.
But I did do some meditating because
okay.
I'm crunchy like that. I was, you know, trying to bring the contractions on. That's how I do.
You weren't having contractions?
I was, but they were like... They were
See,
like
cramps. That water breaking thing is a pain in the badoobies.
Yeah, so
I had like a whole night of that at home.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, I was having very slight ones, and I had also read that if you stimulate your nipples, you can bring the contractions.
Oh my God! Don't
on.
Tell me you did that in the chapel.
I did it everywhere.
Oh, stop!
I know.
It. I'm so uncomfortable.
I mean,
I'm covering my eyes.
And I can't believe I'm telling our listeners this.
And
I cannot
mother.
Believe my mom knows because she because she came.
I can't look at you right now. Keep going.
It wasn't like blatant. Like I was
my
just.
My face is red.
But I did find listeners out there because Robin can't listen to this. I did find that it really did not just like, I mean, not like, oh yeah, let me get it on. It was like just touching them. Really, it did bring contractions on.
Okay.
Like clockwork. It was kind of amazing. And I really think that me doing that brought my labor, made it go a little bit. But I might be wrong, and I don't have a medical degree. So
we've established that.
Right. I had also read, I read Ina Mae Gaskin's books, and they're very, you know, crunchy, and they have all kinds of ideas, like you should make out during contractions. And
I
we didn't do
of
any
anything
of that.
Less I want to
oh,
do.
Oh, God, no. Now that
have,
I know.
Like, ripped someone's face off.
But I did tell Anne at one point when I was reading the books, you're going to have to make out with me. And she was like, that's not happening. So... so right. Anyway, we didn't do anything. But anyway, we walked around. We get back. We get admitted. They set me up on the monitors. And for some reason, the monitor for the baby is working. The monitor for to show my contractions isn't working that well. Like, it's on and in and out, so they don't
Did
see.
Did you need it? I mean, couldn't feel it?
I felt mild ones, but they're not seeing them. So right. They're thinking that it's not happening. So they're still pushing the Pitocin, which they probably would have anyways. So whatever. Yeah. And we kind of were like, well, can we just give it some more time? He says, I have to make my rounds. And when I come back, I want an answer from you. Like, I really want to do this.
I'm going on break in 45 minutes. So.
Yeah. So we get us, buy ourselves some more time. And I'm contracting regularly, but they're light. And that after we've been in there for maybe like 30 minutes, all of a sudden, our nurse rushes in. And three more nurses rush in, and two other doctors rush in. Our doctor rushes in, more nurses rush in. All these people rush in. There's like 15 people rushing into the room with panicked faces, come over to me. They're looking at the monitor, and they start flipping me upside down. And so, flip on your hands and knees, flip this way, flip that way. Here, tape, put the oxygen on your mouth, and da da da. And
are you absolutely panicked? I'm panicked. I'm
not
just hearing this.
I'm not panicked because it's just like, you're just like, what the? You know, while they're all panicked around, I there's no time for me to even process this.
Right.
So they're doing it. And then it eases up, I guess. And then they explain to us his heart rate dropped very low and they needed to get it back up. And usually flipping the mother over gets it up pretty quickly, but it took a long time and a lot of flipping.
Oh,
so
Jesus.
They're worried and they're concerned and they don't know why that is. So they say, we're just going to monitor that. We're going to keep an eye on that. And Anne hears the resident doctor, because all the doctors are in there, not just ours.
Yeah.
Anne hears a resident doctor tell our nurse, who are your other cases? I'll get so-and-so to pick them up. So basically, the nurse became just mine.
Right.
So that tells us, okay, something is a little bit more high stakes here. So then they leave us alone, and we keep going about our... you know, day. And then it happens again, same thing. And they're flipping and they're flipping and they're flipping and they're flipping and his heart rate goes back up. And it gets to a point where they tell us that we're looking at his heart rate to be between this and this. And so when it drops below that, Anne's watching his heart rate now. So every time it drops below that, Anne just stands up and walks to the end of the room because she knows they're all going to rush in. My mom is there too now, and the contractions are getting much more intense. And I'm thinking, we're still in the very beginning. Oh, they give me the Pitocin. Sorry, I get the Pitocin. The contractions get more intense.
And you're not going to have an epidural at this point.
No, my plan was to not have an epidural. The
God
contractions are getting more and more intense. They keep rushing in. I keep getting flipped over. I have oxygen on. It's like wild. And they're when they come in, they're really panicked. I can see it on their face. It's not just them. You know, a lot of times doctors don't show panic.
Yeah,
I've never seen a doctor show panic to me, honestly.
Yeah,
so,
no, I mean, we had a lot of people in the room, too, because I had a similar, like, the cord was around her neck and like, knotted, and I didn't know it. They just, like, all of a sudden, they were just like, we're going to bring in some more people.
Yeah.
And, you know, and I didn't think anything of it, but I had such a quick birth, like, 9 minutes, she was out.
Right.
And so they just, and they were like, we're not going to put her on your, we're not going to put her on your chest. And I was like, okay.
Right,
because
like, they were so calm,
and then they just whisked her over there and cleaned her up, and then everything was fine.
They're usually so calm, and they weren't. And I've never seen doctors and nurses look panicked, honestly. So the contractions get worse. I'm thinking, I have like 24 more hours of these contractions. So finally I say, I can't anymore. I need this epidural. I can't do it. then once you decide you want that epidural, you know, takes way too long. Are you kidding me? Get that And I think the guy who gave me the epidural, it was his first time. He was training or something.
By the way, three times in my back. Three times before I got it. Because I have some, like, weird little curve in my spine or something, just there. And they had to just, like, but I was so, it had been hurting so much that I didn't even care. I was just sure, I can sit still longer. Because it was like, I was so happy. But three times.
Oh, my God. From the minute I said I want the epidural, I said, okay, Jamie, you probably have about like eight more contractions. You can make it through eight more, you know, and then it went past eight like an hour. I was pissed.
That's the thing. That was the one thing I remember from the class that they tell you. Yeah. Like, if you decide you want it, say you want it immediately because it takes, like, you got to wait for them to go through somebody else.
But I think they even expedited me because they were worried about me. Mm-hmm. I was even expedited because wanted me to have this epidural.
Yeah.
Because something was not right. So things are feeling much better, but this whole heart rate thing keeps happening. And then finally around 2 o'clock, 2:30, it's the last time they all rush in, and they end up just staying there for a really long time because it's not coming back up. They're flipping me. The doctor is like hitting my stomach consistently, and like they're doing all
stop hitting.
Yeah. I mean, I don't even, throughout this whole process, I've barely even seen Anne. Because it's just, and it's been quick. My water broke at 2:30. It's now 2:30 in the afternoon. So it's been 12 hours. And now they're in there, and they're in there, and they check me. And I'm 8 to 9 centimeters.
Jeez.
Yeah. All of a sudden, it's like, boom. And then they really panic because they're afraid he can't handle pushing.
Yeah.
Because they don't know why his heart rate keeps dropping.
This episode is sponsored by Feather Snack. Okay, hold on, y'all. I have to tell you about something that my wife got us into and that my whole family is loving now. Brace yourselves. It's the Feather Snap Scout Smart Bird Feeder. Yes, I said bird feeder. This thing is so cool, and it offers a brand new way to connect with nature and learn about the birds right in your own backyard. Or if you're like us living in New York City, it's in your friend's backyard in the country, and you get to use the app connected to it to learn all the stuff. It's got this high resolution camera that connects to an app so you can check out a live stream from your feeder. You can take photos and videos of the birds that visit. You can ID the species using expert trained AI, and you can earn badges along the way. You can even, y'all, learn fun facts about hundreds of species. For example, did you know that American crows can recognize and remember people's faces? And they can even teach their young who's a friend and who's a foe? I know that now. Did you? Seriously, the Feather Snap Feeder is entertaining, it's educational, and it's just a whole bunch of fun for the whole family. Check them out today at feathersnapcam.com. That's feathersnapcam.com. All right, y'all. I just want to take a quick second to talk about our sponsor, Sunbasket. I don't know if you know this about me, but I am not a big fan of grocery shopping or meal planning or anything that goes along with any of that. But I do very much care about eating healthy. But when you don't like to grocery shop or plan meals, it is really hard to cook healthy dinners for your family. And that's where Sunbasket comes in. They're a team of dietitians and chefs that design wholesome, nutritious, and delicious meal kits delivered to your door. Each week, you can choose from a brand new selection of quick and easy meal kit recipes with a wide variety of dietary options, plus dozens of snacks, salads, breakfast items, and more. And you can pick and choose from recipe options like vegetarian, Mediterranean, carb conscious, the list goes on. We just had orzo bowls with broccoli, sun-dried tomatoes, and pea stew, and it was delicious. My kids even liked them. I can't speak to Sunbasket more. I love them. Thanks to Sunbasket's commitments to clean ingredients and organic fresh produce, there's no easier way to eat your very, very best. You just have to go to sunbasket.com/queerfam today to save $120 across your first four deliveries. That's sunbasket.com/queerfam to save $120, y'all, across your first four deliveries, plus free shipping on your first order. Go do that. Get some healthy food. There you go.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger for thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
So now they're just watching them. They're just standing there watching the monitors and flipping me back and forth. We're like, it's got to be like 45 minutes.
By the way, to me, for all the people who say that the doctors just immediately take it to a C-section, it's like, I mean, these people are genuinely trying to respect your wishes and trying to go natural for you. Mm-hmm. You know, I just that's my two cents of that.
Yeah, and it's true. And especially our doctor. And I'll tell you a little tidbit about that after I tell you what happened. So. Where was I? Oh, I'm 8 to 9 centimeters. They're afraid, that he's not going to be able to handle the pushing, and I'm getting ready to push. And so they're trying to figure out what to do. The doctor's there. He's got a panicked look in his eye. Everybody's so panicked around me. I'm like, okay.
Off the microphone, you'll need to tell me the name of your hospital so I can't go there.
But I don't think that they're normally like that. I think it was just a really, tough. I don't know. It was a tough call, I guess. So all of a sudden the doctor says to Anne, get your things. We're going to the OR. We're going to try to push in the OR. And they get busy moving me. Like, so, and Anne's standing there with shoes in her hand. She's like, bring her shoes. She's so confused. Anne tells that part of this. Anne was a little bit pissed off that she wasn't going to be a part of this when I told her last night. I said, you can do a follow-up,
By the way, the reluctant guest now is like, what do you mean I'm not on it?
Yeah, so I'm trying to put her one-liners in that she does. They're much more funny when she does them. She said, should I bring the shoes? Anyway, so they wheel me through the hallways, and they're running through the hallways with me on the bed. They're hitting walls. The doctor behind my head screams, what room am I going to? Like, it's like, I'm like in the middle of...
This sounds like every movie about women having babies.
It turned into She's Having a Baby, the movie. That's what Anne says. She felt like Anne was crying at one point. Like, it was like now, she's having a baby.
If someone had come in and started singing Woman's Work in the background, that would have just, like, if all of a sudden Maxwell was in the corner, this woman's work. That would have been amazing.
That's. I mean, that was the soundtrack.
That probably didn't happen, Anne's head.
No, it didn't happen. But that would have been great. So we get into the room. They really, like, I'm not being explained too much. I'm just going with the flow. And I guess I'm the best person for that because I'm really good at going with the flow, even, I guess, in a time of severe panic. I'm not feeling pain, so that's good. And then we get in there, and it's my understanding.
By the way, what I heard was a plug for the epidural.
You're right.
All right, you're hitting walls. You're in the OR.
So we get in there, and it's my understanding we're going to try to push. They haven't said anything about it, but so they're setting up for me getting ready to labor. And then all of a sudden, I guess the doctor says something and they start setting me up for a C-section. They strap my arms down. They put the curtain up. Like, but there are so many people in this room at this point.
You're awake for a C-section, yeah. Right? Mm-hmm. So, but you're awake with your arms strapped down just behind a curtain while you give birth.
Right. Well, yeah, you don't really give
someone
birth.
Someone zippers your stomach.
Yes. Well, so... And there's so many people there are so many people in the room, and there are people like in my ear, you're doing great, Mom. You're doing a really great job. Don't worry. And I'm like, I'm not worried. I don't know what the fuck is going on. You know, like, okay.
I wasn't worried until you said that.
No, really. I'm literally, when they say that to me, I'm like, okay. You know, I don't know what to think. And then all of a sudden the curtain is up. The doctor flips his head because they haven't even told me it's a C-section yet. The doctor pokes his head around the curtain and goes, do you understand what's going on right now? I have to give you a C-section. I need you to say it's okay. Are you okay with this? We need to get this baby out right now. Like, it was like something had happened and the baby needed to come out right away. And I was like, okay, you do what you need to do. And then I'm like,
you do you.
And then I'm like, wait, am I numb? And then the anesthesiologist is up by my shoulder, like poking. Do you feel this? Do you feel this? Do you feel? Don't worry, Mom. We're going to get you numb enough. Like, I'm like, please do. And then I'm like, where's my wife? My wife isn't here. Oh, we'll find her. We'll find her. Next thing I know,
she was probably putting your shoes away.
Well, she was standing outside in the extra large hospital wear that they made her put on, trying to get in. But people just kept rushing in, and I'm standing there. And finally, I said to somebody, "Can I go in?" And they were like, "Who are you?" I mean, like,
because by the way, in fairness, it's not usually a lady,
right?
You know, so
yeah.
I mean, it's just like those are the moments we have to remember that there are assumptions and they're not necessarily bad, just the way it is.
Yeah. So, and then the next thing I know, I feel them cut me open, and I mean, you don't feel it; you feel the pressure, but you feel it zip across, and then I feel them yank him out. Oh. And it was so fast. I was probably in there 5 to 10 minutes tops. It happened so fast.
Wow.
And Anne wasn't even in the room.
I didn't know that they let like partners be in the room because it's a surgery. I wasn't
for C-section. They keep you up by the curtain.
Okay.
By the person's face. Yeah. She
was still putting her shabooties out in the hallway.
She was just standing there.
Oh,
I know. Poor Anne. So they pull him out.
It's like today. She's not here either. Poor Anne.
Yeah, I know.
It's just us, Anne.
Yeah.
This moment's not about you.
Oh, it's about you, Anne. So
you have to say that.
Yeah. So they pull him out. He doesn't cry at first, but they're putting on a brave voices for me. Oh, come on, guy. You know, they're putting on these brave voices. And then he cried.
Oh, Jesus.
And then I hear Anne come in and somebody says, "You want to see your baby?" And Anne goes, "Oh shit, he's here? What the fuck?"
Oh my God, she's so classy. I love it.
Yeah. So she sees him and then she comes over to me and I'm just in a fog like, oh my God, okay. And then, yeah, and then they show him to me and I say, wow, you know, and that's.
By the way, that's eloquent. They show him to me and I said, wow.
I mean, that's how profound it was. It was really like, I was so
out. Don't you find confused. That moment? It like, I'd like to say that as someone who just, you know, went the, I don't know, is it the regular way? I mean, I don't know about the appropriate, I'm not going to say vaginally, because
I'm going to be mad.
I'm like a 10-year-old. So, but, you know, I remember, like, when they took Maxine over there, first of all, I felt this, like, that's it out of my vagina when she came out. That's what it felt like. And then I was just sitting there going, just being like, what just happened?
Yeah.
And like, nobody had told me whether it was a girl or a boy.
Yeah.
And Mary was running around taking pictures crying. And I was just like, what? So it's like, I think it's confusing. Like, he just had a baby. I think it's just confusing no matter what.
And there's a lot of pressure about that moment too. Mm-hmm. You know, there's pressure to just feel this instant love. And I didn't. I felt like, wow, that's how I felt.
Yeah. That's how I felt with Maxine.
Yeah.
But with Henry, and I think this had to do with putting him on my chest. Mm-hmm. With him, it was like, by the way, 4 minutes. I'm like a champ.
You
like
are.
I'm a baby machine.
Champ.
Which you wouldn't think looking at me. Except my big girl hips. But like they popped, he came out and then they just slapped him right on my chest. And he just, and it was like, and then I started sobbing. Because that. So I did have those two like wildly different experiences with kind of very similar birthing stories. Except for, you know, I was induced with Henry and, but you know, other than that, it was kind of the same.
Yeah, interesting. Yeah, so I didn't get my idyllic birth experience. And I think I'm still processing what happened. I don't know if I'm ever fully going to process it. And I'm okay with
well,
that.
Well, in what, like, what's still left on the table for you? You know what I mean? Is it that you wanted it to be one way and it wasn't that?
No, I have no qualms about how it went down. Like, I went into this from the start saying, whatever happens, happens. I just want to a healthy baby who's alive, and I want to be alive and healthy. So I have no qualms about the fact that I had to have a C-section. I mean, I'm never going to experience pushing. That's a little sad, but I think it's...
Is it sad, though?
I mean, a little bit. I would like to experience, but I'm not... I'm not broken up over
just
it.
Just get some constipation. It's really similar.
Yeah. You know, and I had enough of a birth experience to know. I labored the whole 10 centimeters.
So then what still...
I think it's the trauma of it all. It's the... All that panic that was surrounding me for that whole time, it's coming back to me in little bits. Like, whoa, that was serious.
Well, yeah.
It's coming to, like, I'll be just sitting there and then think, oh.
Like what could have happened?
What could have happened? He wouldn't, I mean.
And I also feel like anything with a newborn, and this I think is going to go into our next question about being a first-time mom.
Yeah.
Second kid, any little thing changes the moment. Mm-hmm. Like the difference with my maternity with Maxine was just like this angelic sort of whatever thing. But with Henry, yeah. I had a UTI, but they didn't. And I was like going into these like wild swings of fever, and then freezing, like to the point of like wool hat, heating pad on, and I couldn't get warm. And my experience like of having to get out of bed to just go breastfeed him was miserable.
Yeah.
So it was just like I had these completely different, just because of one thing. Yeah. And by the way, just for the record, still mad at my doctor because the UTI didn't get diagnosed. Even after I went, they forgot to call and tell me.
Oh my
God. I had it for 8 days. So for like the first 8 days of my kid's life, I like the memory is completely different. I don't know if I'm making sense.
But no, totally. And that's what I've learned too. Every baby is, it's like night and day.
Yeah,
totally. Every experience.
Totally.
So there's that. But also I wanted to say that Orion would not be here if it weren't. If we weren't in the hospital and if it weren't for that game day decision, the reason why all of those heart rate drops were happening was because he had the cord not only wrapped multiple times around his neck, but it was wrapped around his body all the way down, wrapped over and over.
Oh my God, like, he was like a little corkscrew.
And around his feet even.
Holy cow.
Yeah, too much yoga. That's me.
Mm.
Yeah, I'm just kidding. That's not true, guys. I really, and I know that. But yeah, so it was, and so usually when they flip a mother, when there's distress on the baby, it's because the cord is on one side. And if you flip it to the other side,
it frees them up.
Distress, right. But because it was everywhere on him, they couldn't get the cord to stop.
And so you're not suggesting like, I mean, I don't think as a podcast, like we're not suggesting that you shouldn't do your own birthing plan,
right.
But we're merely saying that had you been at home because you weren't in distress yourself,
right?
That you might not have known.
Might not have known that that was happening, and might have tried to push, and he might not have made it because that cord was acting like a vice around his poor little body. So, yeah. So
all right, well,
yeah. So that's a deep. And then I think I'm still processing that too.
Yeah. No, that would be a lot to process.
Yeah. There's just a lot, and he was. And so he doesn't have enough.
You don't have enough life experience with him yet. It's still so close.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like in 2 months when he's like, I don't know, laughing and doing stuff, you'll be like, oh yeah, it was like wrapped around him.
Yeah.
You know, it'll be much more.
Yeah.
All right, Jamie, before you continue, I need to tell you that I got a new pair of Bluetooth headphones from Studio.
Studio.
Oh my God, I knew you were going to do that.
Yes, because guess what? I got them too.
Stop it.
I did.
Oh my God, they're incredible. I got the tray, which is like the active lifestyle ones, you know, so like sort of just like sticks in the ear.
In your ears.
And then I cooked an entire meal while my phone was across the room.
That's amazing.
It was amazing.
That's amazing.
I love them. The sound, they're Swedish made, so they're like so cute looking. Like I was
well,
a fan.
Well, mine are really cute. Mine,
so which ones did
I got
you get?
The Regent, so it's an over the ear.
Loving
you
it.
You know, cool looking, walk down the street, look cool type style.
I mean, do you feel cool in them?
I feel so cool in them. I really do. I like that over the ear look.
Are you cool in them though?
I'd love to pull off cool. I try.
Well,
I try hard.
You know, speaking of cool, for our listeners, they can get 15% off on the Studio website, which is Studio, Studio.com. And if you just mention the code word, ovaries talk.
Code word.
Ovaries talk. You have 15% off.
So it's a win-win.
Oh my God, get them. Okay, wait, but back to babies.
Yes.
So. We have mentioned this whole concept, first time birthing mother, second time parent.
Yes.
Tell us what that was like for you. Well, I mean, I myself many times would tell you things that, of course, you already knew. And then I was like, oh, my God, why am I telling her about formula? Like, she has had babies.
Right.
But it's like because I was processing you as a first-time mom.
Which I am. I'm both.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's confusing for me, too. It's you know, like we said, every child is different and every parenting, you know, every baby experience is different. And Orion and Rose are both so different. And so just that in and of itself is different because he feels more fragile and he came from me. So I haven't experienced that yet. I haven't experienced a baby coming from me. And there's a lot.
Does it feel different, like holding him versus, let's assume they're not ever going to hear this.
No, it doesn't. That doesn't feel different. Like the love is there. I still feel this love that I feel for both of them. The tenderness, it's there. But what is different is me and my emotions because I just gave birth.
Right.
And my anxiety is through the roof over
what
him.
What are you anxious about?
What am I not anxious about is the question. I mean, he's so tiny. He feels fragile. he's already had a couple little issues that just are like making it seem like he's even more fragile in my crazy head right now. Mm-hmm. I just gave birth. My hormones are crazy.
Sure.
So the anxiety I'm feeling over him that I didn't feel over Rose.
So I wonder if that is just physical. I don't mean to minimize it and say it's not actually happening.
I think a lot of it is because of the birth.
Yeah, the hormones.
Yeah, and that he came from me. So there's anxiety over the fact that I could have made something weak because it's me. Do you know what I mean?
Oh, really?
Yeah, I think it's hormones. I think that's hormones too. But because
in your head.
Well, I do that. But because Rose wasn't made by me, and Anne made Rose. Mm-hmm. I was fully confident that that child was gonna like conquer the world. You know, I didn't have any of these fears that I'm feeling about this little boy because because I made him. I don't know.
Also be because he's tinier.
He's tiny.
Because he, you know, you had a traumatic birth. It could be like all those things.
Yeah.
Plus your hormones.
And I'm trying to process through so much that, like I said, I don't think I've processed the birth that through. Yeah. Anyway. Yeah. And then there's also breastfeeding. I didn't breastfeed. I didn't have to experience that. And I had no idea how hard it can be.
Oh my God, it's so hard. It's like not intuitive.
No. And
it's just not.
Especially
once you get it, it's like, oh, I got it.
Yeah. Well, and Orion has had a particularly hard time latching. And so it's been tough. And the first 2 weeks he demolished my nipples. I mean, it was so painful.
Maybe it was you during delivery, just FYI. Maybe you did a little more than you think you did.
Maybe I set that one up, huh?
Thank you.
Yeah. Well, he did. He demolished them. He had a really poor latch, which is which is another thing. He also
that phrase "demolished my nipples" is just like words I've never thought of together, nor thought should be together.
And but they were literally demolished. I mean, it was gross.
That's like the downstairs.
And it's so painful.
I don't know. Did you look downstairs? You didn't have the
but
downstairs.
I have a lot of it because I got almost there.
Oh, right.
But I don't have the outside, you know.
Listen, when I want to say that I didn't look for Maxine because people told me not to look. And then after Henry, people were like, this one nurse just kept me in like, do you want a Percocet? And I was like, I don't know, I guess so. Do you want? And then when I was in the bathroom, I looked and I called her back in. I said, I think there's another hole. Like, I was like, it looked like lunch meat. I'm sorry. It was a car accident. And I just said, is this how it's supposed to look? And she was like, yeah, honey, it's okay. And I said, it's coming back. And she was just like, yeah, no, it's fine. I said, but is that why you're trying to give me the Percocet? She goes, yeah, honey. I was like, fine, I'll take the Percocet.
Oh my God. Anyway. Yeah. I mean, I watched it. I saw it, Anne. And I saw what happened to it.
Oh, jeez Louise.
Yeah, so I don't have, no, but I haven't looked
But down you did there. Have demolished nipples, so.
So he demolished my nipples, which it turns out he had actually like an issue with latching, which I can get into. But so that was really, really hard. I had to bring in a lactation consultant, and the pain was crazy. And the pain down the entire front of my body for a full month after he was born. We're 5 weeks out now. I don't know if I should say that, but he's 5 weeks now. For an entire month, the whole front of my body was in so much pain. The whole front, because including the incision.
Oh, right. Like, I forget that, you know, it's like, because you have your clothes on.
Right.
I don't, that sounded so weird, but because I don't, I'm going to say that another way.
No, leave it.
I don't see the scar, so and you're up walking around, so you forget.
Yeah, you're never going to see the scar, Robin.
Why you got to turn it into that? I'm not trying to see the scar. It's just got so weird.
I just bonked my tooth on the microphone.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah.
All right. Yeah, the entire front of you is...
It hurts. Like, walking into the shower is the most painful experience because feeling the water anywhere on the front of me is like, oh.
Still?
No, finally, after a month, at the 5-week mark, I'm finally feeling normal again. My boobs don't hurt as much as they did. My incision is pretty much healed.
That's great.
But yeah, breastfeeding has been really tough. It's still tough.
And I feel, I mean, I have one friend who has three boys, and she said to me, she was talking about actually the giving birth, but I have taken it to mean almost all of parenting. She said, Robin, don't be a hero. And I agree. Like, I, you know, I went in my first week and I was like sobbing over breastfeeding with my first. And the doctor, all he said was, how's breastfeeding going? And I started sobbing. And then he wrote down the name of a formula on the piece of paper and he said, it's okay. And I was so thankful to him for saying that, because I think the amount of pressure to breastfeed right now is off the charts.
Off the charts, Robin, I'll tell you personally.
And I'm not saying, I just have to say this, I'm not saying you shouldn't breastfeed if you can.
Right.
I mean, with my son, I breastfed the first two feedings for the full 3 months. Mm-hmm. That's all I did. Because just so he had enough immunity, you know, you know, to take care of him, because we had a toddler in the house.
Yeah.
But that's all I did. And you know what? My life was better, and I'm a better person because I know myself.
Yeah.
I was never going to breastfeed in public. I mean, I can't even say half of the words on our podcast. I was never going to take my boobs out in public. I just wasn't.
Yeah.
It's not who I am.
I understand that. And that's something I want to bring up too. There is this pressure. I feel a very, very strong pressure from it's so many around me to keep on breastfeeding, keep on trying. And I'm pushing through it because I really wanted to breastfeed. I really wanted to experience it.
You've experienced it now.
True. And it's not how I thought it was going to be. I'm still pushing through. But he's been supplemented since we came home from the hospital because of his poor latch.
Yeah.
So he does get formula too. So there's a mix of the two. But I'm like a pumping machine. I just pump. And sometimes he takes my boob and sometimes he doesn't.
But you know what, though? I applaud you for you want to do it. So that's, you know, that's how I feel. Like, it's like religion. Like, I'm not mad at you because you're some other religion. I'm just saying, don't push it on me. Like, right. Everyone should do what's right for them.
I mean, everybody, to my friends that I'm texting with who say, you really should keep doing it because it'll be so good for him. You know, even just saying that to somebody who's struggling with it is so, I've heard it from so many people, and it's like,
it makes you feel crappy.
It really does, because it's so hard.
Because, by the way, and every day a failure I think I'm implied
gonna stop.
In it.
Every day I think, I'm going to stop. I can't do it anymore. And then every day I say, no, one more day. And that's literally how it's going right now. It's a struggle. But every day I somehow say, okay, one more day. Like, even I went and got my eyebrows waxed, and even the lady waxing my eyebrows asked me, are you breastfeeding? And I was like,
oh my God.
I was like, I'm trying. It's tough. She said, oh, but you should. You should. It's so good for you. And
you
the
know
baby.
What you should do? Swing by my house, do my eyebrows daily, and you breastfeed the baby.
Right.
How about that?
Yeah, so there's pressure, and we need to not put that pressure on each other, ladies, because it's hard enough as it is.
Oh my God, just being a mom is hard enough. Like I, you know, you brought up a point earlier about how, as women, we don't talk about, you know, we don't talk about, and I myself am guilty of this, saying to people who are pregnant, I'm not going to tell you that part.
Right.
I'll tell you that after you've had the baby. We'll commiserate on birth, you know, about
tell
like
us.
How it looks like, you know, deli meat downstairs right. after. But why can't we talk? And I found also that when I was pregnant, I wanted to enjoy being pregnant. I thought I was going to. I didn't.
Me either.
There was like, I was nauseous. I thought I was going to be all Mother Earth. I wasn't.
Me either.
And I talked openly and honestly about hating birth, or not birth, hating pregnancy. And it was, for some women, they acted as if I said, I hate my baby.
I know.
It's like, I didn't say I hate this baby. I can't wait to meet this baby. I don't want it in here anymore. Yeah,
you can't say that.
No.
It's really, it's from us women. But here's the thing.
Why do we do that to each other?
After the C-section also, I had no idea how hard the recovery is of a C-section. Oh, my God, it was tough.
Well, I think yours might have been even harder because you got so far along. Like, my sister had a C-section where they were just kind of like, something was not awesome. So they were like, just come in, we're doing a C-section. She never went into, because she never went into
labor.
Thank you. That word, that important word in the story. She felt like her recovery was simple and easy and quick.
Oh.
And I think that has something to do with it when you go into labor.
Well, it was really terrible, and I can't believe the amount of pain I was in. You know, you can't sit up and you have a newborn that you're trying to take care of. You can barely walk. I mean, I was hunched over trying to walk to the bathroom. Ugh.
And you can't, and you have you a toddler that you can't pick up.
I had a 4-year-old. I can't stand up straight. Like, it was, I can't believe, and I know multiple people who've had C-sections, and I had no idea that it could be this tough. And then on the second day after the C-section, I got gas. Ladies, take heed. The C-section gas is a thing. And then after...
isn't that from the anesthesia?
Oh, wait. Yeah, I guess so. But I guess, I think with a C-section, something goes on and it doesn't
like
come out.
Like a vacuum or something?
I don't know. But you get gas so bad. Yeah, that it is so painful and it can't come out. You feel it in your shoulders.
Oh, my God.
It is the worst. I was sobbing. My mother was there and she's trying to help me. And I'm sobbing in the hospital.
What do you even do when you can't, like, rub your stomach?
They're like, walk around.
Oh, thanks.
Thank you. That helps. Can I have some more drugs? No, just walk around. You're not due for your dose for another 2 hours. You know, like, I was sobbing. I have a baby in my arms. And then that night in the hospital, it was my first night alone in the hospital because Ann couldn't stay. I had the gas pains. And the baby decides he needs to cluster feed. So he's cluster feeding and demolishing my nipple. Cluster feeding while I have these gas pains, and I called the nurse in because I'm gonna be alone. I don't know if I can handle this because he won't get off my boob.
Yeah,
I'm not gonna get any sleep. I'm in so much pain. I called the nurse in and I'm like, I think you need to take him to the nursery tonight because I can't. Oh, he's cluster feeding. We don't take them.
What?
I was like, what? No, we can't. We don't take them when they're cluster feeding because they'll just scream in there and they just want to be with you and they need to cluster feed because that's how you get your milk. Yeah. So
are you kidding me?
No. Oh my God. I texted Ann that night. This is the worst night of my life. I literally said those words. He was on my boob. I'm in so much pain. I couldn't
see. Now, when I was there, they were saying, like, make sure you do the full feeding and then don't keep, like, letting them feed, like, every 15 minutes because they're going to start cluster feeding.
Oh, they were all about the cluster feed. They were like, the cluster feed is good.
What?
You gotta let them cluster feed because that's how you get your milk supply up, and that's how they grow. Maybe because he was so small too.
Maybe. But all I know is, I'm glad you brought that up. Though, I mean, I'm sorry that they wouldn't take the baby away.
They wouldn't take him.
Maxine, I was not going to put her in the nursery. And the first night I was there, because in New York, you may not get a private room. And the first night I was in, I delivered and was put in the room at like 1 a.m. They brought the baby at like 3 a.m. And I was in there with someone who I must have had some very, very painful thing happen because she just moaned throughout the whole night. So I hadn't slept for like, 2 days at this point. So the second night we got a private room and Mary was like, just let them take the baby. And I was like, and it was the greatest thing. Like I was able to sleep for 3 hours. Like it was... And no bad thing happened.
Right. And that's what I was...
Going back to don't be a hero.
Well, and I was all... And I tried.
All right. Well, I want to say this. Look, parts of the story are dark. But, you know...
That's my brain right now. That's my headspace, Robin.
And by the way, that's your...
I'm also in love.
With the baby?
Yeah.
Okay. I was like... That's just where I was like, with the mailman? I was like, that's... Sounds a little... Okay, well, I'm glad to hear you're in love with him.
It's a lot of happiness, too.
Ridiculously cute. And that's the thing. It's like we all have to just sort of like get through this thing, and it is a badge of honor, and it is hard. And there are, for the people out there who it is delightful and wonderful, because I know some of those people.
And I hate you. I'm just kidding.
Jamie. Totally kidding. We do not on If These Ovaries Could Talk hate any of our listeners.
No.
A little bit. No, but like for those people, like, you know, that's great. And you should, I think you should consider yourself one of the lucky ones.
Yeah.
But for the rest of us, I agree with you. We need to work on honesty. We need to tell people, we need to, you know, just, and just, I think there's like a, you got to just be strong and get through it in whatever way is best for you.
We got to talk about it. We got to talk about our struggles. You know, we can't always, like you said, we can't always be heroes.
No.
Sometimes life is hard and sometimes things are harder than we think they're going to be. And it's okay to talk about it. And I mean, that's the whole reason for this podcast, I think, because I was feeling alone and I needed to hear from more people who'd been through what I've been through, and I couldn't find it.
And and hear their stories and hear how it all comes out in the end.
Yeah.
I mean, so that's why all of the stories we're telling are interesting, because we're not just talking about like the struggles at birth, we're taking it up through the struggles of being in non-traditional families. It's like, it's this whole thing we have to talk about.
You know, we need to not beat each other down. We need to raise each other up, ladies. That's what this is about.
I like it.
And my therapist is on this whole sadness kick. She says that people don't feel sadness anymore. We're not exploring our sadness, and it's really important to explore our sadness. And I'd like to broaden that and say it's really important to broaden all our feelings.
Jamie, I don't think there's anyone listening who doesn't think you're not exploring your sadness.
I know, and I'm getting it. I'm hormonal.
We're going to also explore our joy.
I could go on and on.
But you won't.
I won't.
We're going to explore our joy.
Yeah.
We're going to thank everybody for coming out. Listen, guys, share this. Get on Twitter and tell us. Look, we said a lot of things that we feel. Yeah. Tell us your thoughts. If you disagree, you agree.
Totally.
We'd like to hear them.
And if you have a hard story to tell, tell it.
Share it.
Write it down. Tell it to us. I want to hear.
We always say it. Let's create the community.
I'm not going
to
judge.
On Twitter, we're at Ovaries Talk. Or on Facebook, If These Ovaries Could Talk. And thanks for listening today.
Thank you. Thank you. We hope you enjoyed it.
All right.
And with that,
eggs,
ovaries,
out.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger for thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger for thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.